Welcome back to the Jewish Futurism Lab, where we unpack Torah, tech, and tomorrow. I'm Mike Wirth, Jewish futurist, community artist, and design educator, coming to you from Crowntown, Charlotte, North Carolina. Today, we're reaching beyond Earth's orbit to talk to Jewish art and fruit that's gone to the moon. I'm joined by Alejandro Glot, the amazing Jewish Mexican artist who sent papayas into space on NASA's Artemis missions. We spoke on the day of the Artemis II launch about papayas, diaspora, and a Jewish future that might just reach the stars. This is the episode where Jewish futurism straps up for the ultimate rocket ride. So I got to talk to Alejandro Glot on the day of the Artemis II launch. Completely fitting, because Alejandro's work has already touched the moon on the Artemis I mission. Alejandro and I first met at the Jerusalem Biennale in 2024, where we were both showing art. And I was immediately amazed by his vision of Tiferet beauty in a simple fruit of the papaya. And the absolute simcha, the joy he carries leading birthright trips to Israel. These things just absolutely lit me up. He's the artist who sent papayas into space. Wow. Turning fruit into prayer, expression, and now cosmic connection. When we first met, I fell in love with the way that he saw things. The beauty, the teferet in simple things like papayas. And they immediately became special to me after I heard his story. Alejandro's work is as much about spirit as it is about material. He's led travel and service trips, carrying an infectious smile, a joy that radiates from him the entire time. He loves doing what he does. And his smile has that rare power. You forget you're sad around Alejandro. You feel lifted. You feel seen. You feel remembered. You feel held in light. And in this conversation, we talk about the holiness that's hidden inside fruit, what it means to live in the diaspora and still feel rooted, and the future of Jewish civilization, one that might one day stretch all the way to the stars, the moon, and maybe Mars. So friends, on Erev Artemis and Erev Pesach, here is my interview with the amazing Alejandro Glot. I don't know what I did this morning to be so lucky, Baruch Hashem, but I was able to track down the amazing Alejandro Glot on the day of days, right? It is Erev Pesach and Artemis II mission launch day, right? Bezrat Hashem, that all goes down. Alejandro, how are you, my friend? How are you feeling today?
Wow. Thank you so much for having me. I feel very excited. And it's so amazing. We have full moon tonight. It's just in the Gregorian calendar, it's April 1st. So many new beginnings. And I really, really feel prepared. And I feel I've been preparing for this day for a long time to really start new things, new projects, new connections. I'm super excited. I'm here in paradise of Tulum. I'm here with my parents. Tonight, we're going to the Chabad in Tulum to celebrate, to have like all this new beginning. And yeah, very grateful, very hopeful. I'm very excited of everything that is happening. At the same time, sad and worried for the war, everything that is going on. We can't deny and we can just ignore what's going on for our brothers and sisters in the Arets. So yes, it's like a very happy, very sad, very worried, and at the same time, very hopeful that peace and freedom times are about to come.
Amen. Amen. Love that. Love that. So Alejandro, for folks out there who are maybe just hearing about you and hearing you for the first time, tell us a little bit about your background and your Jewish story.
Amazing. So my name is Alejandro Glot, Mordechai Alexander, my Hebrew name. I'm Mexican Jewish. I'm the third generation of Mexican Jews. My four grandparents were already born in Mexico, and my great grandparents came from Poland and from Russia. So I've been like really been since my first days very deep into the Mexican culture and on the Jewish culture. So I attended to a Jewish school all my life, and I feel the combination of who I am really forms and shapes who I am as an artist, as a human, and really my work and my vision. I feel I'm very colorful, very joyful, and at the same time, very deep rooted into my Yaldut, into my Judaism. I'm recognized to be the first Mexican Jewish artist to send art to the moon on the first Artemis mission by NASA and SpaceX. It was on February 14, 2024, making story and really, really making a statement for the Jews and for the Mexicans. And right now, today is the launch of the second mission, and I'm sending other piece. And for the next Artemis, there are 5 missions. I'm very proud to present that I'm sending the first mezuzah to the moon. And we're going to have the first ever mezuzah and claf in the moon as part of this mission. So I consider myself a Jewish leader. I consider myself a Jewish activist, a Jewish artist, of course. And I'm very committed to spread peace, love, and our values wherever I go, with the impact and all the vision and dreams that I have as a human.
That's so cool, Hermano. I want to be you when I grow up. That's so amazing. I mean, that you've got things kind of all over the place, seemingly, right? When I try to explain you, Alejandro, to people, it's hard because you're doing activism, you're doing creative work, you're involved with NASA, you're leading Birthright Israel trips. You're hosting meditations and Shabbat dinners. You're a DJ.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like you've got all this stuff. I just want to know, like, where do you get all the energy for doing this kind of work? And I know at the center of what you do is the papaya as a symbol. Yes. Take us into that mental space and you know, explain to us, like, what is the significance of it and how do you thread it through that Mexican existence and that Jewish existence and human existence?
That's a question that I receive every single day of my life via WhatsApp, Instagram, or real life. Every single day someone asks me, and why papayas? And why papayas? And here's a short help and supported by ChatGPT and everything to just put it in one whole sentence. So I started my journey with fruit, just by intuition. I've been very rooted in my Judaism, as I was saying, but I started experimenting with fruits just for the intuition. I studied business in university. I did Mexico City, and I was always so passionate for fruits. And I was like, I don't know what's going on, and I don't know why I feel called for fruits, colors, textures. I just felt they were fascinating. So while I was in my boring accounting classes during business school, I started doing art with fruits, which was like something very strange. Once I graduated and I finally show my parents, as good Jewish parents, that I finished my degree, now I can be free and do whatever I want, I started getting into my journey to really, really understand and figure out who I was and what was my calling. So I started traveling the world. And I came exactly here to Tulum for my first time, where it's so rooted in nature. And I started, during living here, my investigation on the Mexican fruits, especially about Mayan fruits, which are the fruits of this region of the world and of Mexico. So I started like going and visiting different farms, and I figured out that there is all these fruits that are called the forgotten Mayan fruits, which are fruits that, because they're not like the demand and people are not buying them in the markets or the supermarkets, they just stopped producing them and stopped growing them from the trees. So that really, really popped me, and I was like, what's going on? Like, we know some fruits, but there's so many other fruits. So I started getting deeper into the fruit markets and just to really speak with the abuelos, with the grandparents that are the only ones that know about these fruits. And I was like, what are the Mayan fruits, these millenary fruits from the ancient cultures? And they told me that there are 3 main Mayan fruits. And one of these fruits that has the only fruit that has survived through the years, and people are still consuming it and buying it and making smoothies and ice creams, and just like people know which fruit is, was the papaya. And I was like, wow, so the papaya is a powerful fruit. And then I just started to get my research deeper and deeper and deeper into the papaya as a symbol of the Mexican culture and as Mexico as a country. So I started really getting into that, following my investigation. I'm very committed to eat Mexican fruits, and I always started presenting the papaya as a Mexican fruit. Few years later, like 4 years later of being like super deep into the Mayan fruit, especially the papayas, I decided to move to Tel Aviv and decided to follow my Yaldut and to just keep my inspiration and keep my project, but to have a more Jewish perspective of life, and not the perspective that I learned in school, because you know, every high school kid, the only thing that doesn't want to know is what the teacher is telling you. So I was always like saying, whatever the teacher is saying, I'm gonna go play with my friends, I don't care. So I like just grew with all the Tanakh, all the stories, all the Hebrew, or something that I didn't like because I've been a rebel since my first day of life. But after graduating and after a few years, I decided that it was my time to really, really connect with my root and really connect with my Judaism. So I decided to take my stuff, a few papayas of my artwork on a bag and go to the Eretz to keep my journey. And when I started arriving to Tel Aviv, I remember how, first of all, people don't understand what is a papaya in Israel, because they're just, after visiting some farms, there are just only two farms in the whole Eretz that grow papayas. So if you tell what is a papaya to an Israeli, 90% of them have no idea what is it. But some of them, and most of the Israelis, travel the world. When they finish the Tzava, they travel to South America, North America. So for them, the papaya is this like paradise fruit, and this fruit which is only on their minds because whenever they travel the world, they have tried it, but they don't have it in the Eretz. And the only fruit papayas in the Eretz that they sell on the Sugar Carmel 1 month a year, I mean, like doing all these interviews, they're super small and tiny. So the papaya maradol, which is the papaya that we grow here in Mexico, it's just like a myth, a legend to them. And that's what I was, okay, things are getting even more interesting, because it's not only that it's Mexican, it's so, so, so exotic for the Israelis. So I started telling people about the papayas, and like many don't know what is it. Many tell me stories that they tried in the mountain. Like it just started to come like as a magical myth for the Jews and the Israelis especially. So I end up leaving the Eretz after living there, because on October 7, I was there, and I really had this big fight with my parents where I told them I want to stay and support and like help. And they were like, you're not going to save anyone. You're coming back to Mexico tomorrow. So I came back to Mexico super sad, super angry at my parents, but at the same time understanding as Jewish parents what they wanted from me. And I decided to be very, very committed to make Jewish art and to be a Jewish leader. So I started activating and doing art and started making pieces that mix being Jewish and being Mexican at the same time. In here you can see I have the Birkata Bayit, pink Birkata Bayit with the shape of the papaya. So immediately, of course, here comes the question of people. What's the connection between being Jewish and the papaya? First, I had no idea. Honestly, I was following my intuition. I was like, I don't know, but there should be something. So I kept my research and kept my research, went to the rabbi, went to like, you know, the same people that I really wanted to find answers. So speaking with my rabbi, the Rabbi Peretz, in one of his shiurim, he tells me this story that the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash had golden trees, and the golden trees had golden fruits, and the golden fruits were what the Kohanim were using to sell and make their parnasa, get their income based on selling golden fruits. And that's when I need to make a golden papaya, because it's the Beit HaMikdash mixing Mexico and everything. So I make my first golden papaya piece, and then I keep my research. And I was in one of my travels in Costa Rica, and I heard this phrase that it's very common, that they say, you grow like a papaya. It's like something very common that they say in Colombia and in Costa Rica. And I heard this phrase saying, you're like a papaya. So I was like, sorry, stop for a moment. What are you talking about? And they say, yes, the papaya tree is a tree that grows in every circumstance. Wherever you throw a seed of papaya, might be on the middle of the street, on the concrete, on the jungle, wherever in the world you throw a papaya seed, the papaya tree always finds its way to thrive, to flower, and to grow. And that was my aha moment. I was like, wow, that's the resilience that we as Am Israel, as Jews, have and have had during the history of our time. And that's the connection between the papaya and the Yaldut and Judaism, that wherever we are, we get together, we use all our strength, and we thrive and we flower. And that's why papayas and Judaism are so connected.
Man, ChatGPT did such a good job. That was beautiful.
It's in Rabbi,
I love that.
Everything together. So I keep, because, you know, I receive the questions so many times a day that I need to have a super clear answer.
Good. And I'm sorry to start with something, you know, so expected, but I wanted to really know, you know, because like I had some thoughts even, you know, sitting here going, what is it about the papaya that's so special, you know? And I thought, like, it kind of reminds me, especially hearing you talk now, it kind of reminded me of like our pomegranate and what the pomegranate means for us, right, as Jewish people. And
the mitzvot.
Cain, right? Like the Rimon has the mitzvot, right, from the Torah in them, and the exact amount, you know? So I was like, wow, I wonder, you know, that could be a diaspora version.
Yes, let me stop you for a moment, because after doing so much activism, being Jewish and using the papaya as a symbol, and crazy enough, I was born in a Mexican house where my parents had this collection of watermelons in the wall, all kinds of watermelons, photos and paintings, everything about watermelons. I was so lucky to choose the papaya, another watermelon, because the watermelon now has a pro-Palestinian connotation. So after doing so much activism, me as an artist, and using the papaya as a symbol, people, at least in Mexico, they now relate the papaya as a symbol of Zionism. So I was now in Art Week in February, and one of my installations in Art Week that had nothing to do with being Jewish and proud, it was a light installation of papayas, got destroyed by pro-Palestinian activism, which they threw and destroyed my art piece with real watermelons. And they did a whole campaign putting how, like, the watermelon destroying a papaya, making a statement how pro-Palestinian activists are destroying Zionism. So I really made so much work and effort mixing who I am, that right now the papaya became a symbol for Zionism, which is something that I could never even believe, that a fruit now represents a movement, and a movement represents a whole Am Israel. So I can really see the impact that I'm having in the world with my vision and my art.
That's amazing. And hold on to it, right? Like that's what is to be expected, because you're successful using this symbol, right? And you're authentic with it because of who you are. Of course, the only thing they can do is hijack it and try to distort it. So, but they ain't getting to the moon. Let's talk about the moon, man. How'd that go about? Like, and how'd you feel? Like, I know you're honored and all that stuff, but like, what went through your head when you were thinking, man, I'm going to be in the Artemis 1, 2, 3 and beyond missions with my work?
The story is like, I was in Art Basel in Miami. This was 5 years ago already. And Dalla Santana, the curator of the Lunar Prize, the first art museum on the moon, approached me and he said, I love what you're doing. I want to invite you to the first museum on the moon. I love the papayas and I love that they're Mexican. I love they're Jewish. And first, my first impression was like another crazy Miami guy, another crazy story, nothing. And it was true. It was true. After a few months, the moment that I saw my papaya in the spaceship leaving the Earth, we were in Cape Canaveral in Florida, seeing how a rocket left the Earth and went to the moon. And now every night that I see the moon, and so many people in the world see the moon, spot the papaya, and know that there is a papaya out there looking at us. And that's a feeling that really, really, I can't compare it with anything. I have a very deep connection with legacy. I really want to make a legacy in humanity in this world. And this really, really impacts. And the fact that now we're sending the mezuzah to the moon, it's just everything is connecting and getting together. So yes, I feel very proud, very inspired, and just very honored to be the person and artist and activist that I'm today.
And how do you think, like, you know, you're making the moon more Jewish than it already is, right? By putting the papaya that has all this energy, right, and this love infused in it, and then the mezuzah on top of that. I mean, your Rosh Chodesh is going to be really exciting every month, right?
No, it's crazy how our calendar runs by the moon. It's not a coincidence that tonight is Erev Pesach and tonight we have the full moon. Everything we run by the moon cycles, and that's why it's so important. And that's why, like, as Jews, to look at the moon really, like, connects us with the whole story and the whole development of it.
Excellent. Yes. Well, that's going to be really exciting. I'm going to be thinking about you as this rocket coasts through the sky. I wish I was in Florida, you know, to be able to see this up close, but we're going to enjoy it anyway. You'll be able to see it from where you are in Tulum, yeah?
Yes, yes, yes. Awesome. We can see it from everywhere.
That's so cool. So let's still talk a little bit about your work itself and many of your installations that I haven't even gotten to see in real life. I can't wait to do that. Explore light and transformation. And, you know, I also know that you explore mysticism. And, you know, I was curious, like, if how you're layering in Kabbalah or any of those concepts, you know, those Jewish cosmological concepts into your pieces.
Amazing. Yes, like exactly what you're saying, and the whole concept of Ein Sof, like the unlimited light source, and of course the Shefa, the abundance, like light and Judaism are so connected. And we see Hanukkah as part of it, like we celebrate light because we as Jews, as Am Israel, we identify ourselves as light workers. We're here to bring more light to the world. And that's why we as Am Israel, we have such a strong connection that we help each other through the years when everyone wants to destroy us and to attack us. We stay together, we thrive together, and we use the light as a source of, yeah, just like saying we're here, we're proud, and no one is gonna destroy us, and no one is gonna have the ability to finish with us. That's why the light, and using the light as part of my journey, as part of my person, as part of my whole work, it's so important and inspires me so much.
And I'm sure color has become something so much more meaningful to you now that you've been playing with light, because all of a sudden the work or the installation that you've built can be tinted into a certain shade and things like that.
Absolutely. And also that's why I was telling you, like, by being Mexican and have been born in this country, I also feel like color is so important for Mexico. It's part of the culture. But what does it happen when you mix being Mexican and being Jewish both together. It's just like a full spectrum of who I am.
Fantastic. And I think, like, thinking about that full spectrum, you really love to play with people's senses when they come to your exhibits. I see people eating, smelling, touching, you know what I mean, feeling and seeing, obviously, and hearing, right? There's so yeah. much that you offer. You know, that really, you really get people together, and you have this really strong sense of community. You know, when you invite people, like, are they just there as attendees, or do they co-create with you, or what does that experience look like at a Alejandro event, right, of some sort?
I created this whole concept called Feel the Fruit, which is about not only being an attendee, but to really participate. So we always start with having all the fruits together and just facilitating knives to everyone. And I just say, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I just always start saying, rule number one, there are no rules. Don't ask me how to do it. So I just like give knives to people and invite them to express themselves through fruits. We all went to a painting class. We all went to something, arts and craft. But why if we use the fruits to honor our roots, to meditate on them, and to create? So that's kind of the examples and exercises I make with. So it's about co-creating, handling the fruits, and just see what happens. And then I've been mixing this with a Shabbat dinner, and I've been hosting this with the different Hagim. So by learning more of our traditions and by mixing them with my ideas, it's how I've been reaching to the point where I'm like, yeah, it's our sixth year for Art Basel Miami, every year hosting something bigger and bigger, always focusing on the same values and the same principles of fruits, feelings, and freedom.
I love that alliteration. That's perfect. Fruits, feelings, and freedom. That's magnificent. Yeah, I mean, you're doing an excellent job of, you know, in what we call on the show here, talking about Jewish futurism, right? Like, you are having folks design new rituals, right? That's stay halakhic, right? But still in bring in the spirit of being in the diaspora, and your world building, right? You're designing this new space for this community, like where they can absolutely live. That's fantastic. I want to ask you about legacy, right? What, Alejandro, after the things you've been through and are going to experience tonight and going into the future, what kind of wisdom or maybe some helpful words would you want to leave your descendants in the future?
Wow, you know, legacy, it's my favorite word. Really, 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 legacy, it's something very important for me. And I really want to give a legacy in the world where they remember, first of all, a Jews to be proud. That's the most important thing I want to leave as legacy in this life, to really identify as Jewish and not to keep it inside of you, but to really say, I'm Jewish, I am proud, and I really, really, really can share with the world my roots and myself, to present myself. And really, my legacy is to change the world. I'm finding the way, and I'm exploring the possibilities, and I'm trying different things and methods and ideas and communities of how to impact humanity, how to impact the world, and make a very, very important and positive change for what we know as Earth and beyond, because I'm already on the moon and I'm already registered to be one of the million people populating Mars. So this doesn't finish here. We're going to Mars, and you're going to see before I'm not going to die in this Earth. I'm going to be one of the million people going to populate Mars with my ideas, my visions, and building a new community outer this planet Earth.
Oh my God. Well, I can't wait to visit you in this place. And see what a Martian papaya looks like, if it'll grow in that red soil or not.
We're working hard, and we're making one of the first kibbutzim in Mars, because it's like about starting a... That was the whole idea of the kibbutzim in the Arts when we starting in 1948, to go and populate, create, and build a new world, a new country. But I'm very committed to do this outer of this world in Mars.
Mamash, claro. That's beautiful. So Alejandro, this has been amazing, and I know you have a full day, so super appreciate you giving us time. Is there something that's coming up for you that you want to share with the community here that you're excited about?
Absolutely. I'm moving to Miami. I'm working with a very important gallery called Picadillo Gallery. It's a Jewish art gallery that I would love to introduce you to. And yes, after traveling the world for so many years of my life, I'm going to keep traveling, but I'm going to be rooted in Miami, where I'm going to really, really focus on being Jewish and Mexican. And it's like, when I started my project, everyone told me, you're so Miami. And after going 6 years to Art Basel, I'm moving physically there to build roots, open a studio, and be proud Mexican, proud Jewish, and really build something very important, very big. And yes, we have so much going on all the time. The Mezuzah to the Moon, I invite everyone to check out more. We're putting together 18 Jewish organizations, which are Birdright, we're working with AJC, we're working with PJ Library, we're working with Chabad Worldwide, we're working with the Yahad Lemana Hayal for the Friends of the IDF, and then we're also working with 18 Jewish families from all over the world that I'm creating a commission costume piece that tells the story of the family, of how they arrived to the place that they are, and using their stories, their photos, their recipes, everything to give all these families the opportunity to have like legacy and to really impact for the rest of humanity and beyond their story with their mezuzah on the moon. So that's like the project that I'm working more with, that I'm like very excited and just like putting together different concepts. But yeah, that's what builds me as an activist, as an artist, and mainly as a human being.
Beautiful. So there's Diego Rivera, Frida Kahlo, and now Alejandro Glot. Tres grandes.
Bezrat Hashem, Bezrat Hashem.
Bezrat Hashem, indeed. Well, Alejandro, this has been amazing. So fun to learn more about what you got going on and to hear about all these amazing plans and just the beautiful inspiration behind it. I think I was already a fan, and now I super appreciate all the things that you got, knowing all the love that's behind it. So my brother, thank you so much for your time today.
And I really admire your work, and can't wait to make a collaboration together where we make a together papaya project and make a piece, and let's speak about it, because I really admire what you do, your vision, and your podcast is amazing. And I'm so happy to have this space, and grateful and excited for what's upcoming. Chag Sameach to everyone that is listening us and will listen us. And really, really remember, I'm Israel Hai, and don't be scared to share how proud and Jewish you are wherever, whenever, and whoever you are for the rest of your lives.
Amazing. Mamash. Kadima. Pesach Sameach, my friend. We'll be in touch.